Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. In our next conversation with Dori Olds, I'll ask her about that October 1985 day when those first two bombs went off. Was she scared? We'll learn more and find out that she didn't know that her husband, Mark Hoffman, was planting the bombs. Check out our conversation. I also want to remind you to please sign up for our newsletter. Go to gospeltangents.com/newsletter, and you can get some inside scoops about some of the upcoming guests that we have. Now back to our conversation. Well, let me ask you a few other questions. Let's go back to that awful October of 1985. You know, I know I've talked with several people that have known Mark, and they were all looking for bombs under their car.
Yeah, it frightened a lot of people.
Kurt Bench, Shannon Flynn, even Michael Quinn. Were you concerned for your safety? Because, you know, none of these people believed it was Mark initially either.
Yeah.
Were you concerned?
I wasn't.
You weren't.
Until Mark called me.
Okay.
He called me and said, you need to leave the house. You need, because you may be in danger. So he's telling me this big old lie, scaring me. And I remember, I think I had one child home at that point, a baby, a younger one. I remember I was cleaning up my house because it was a Tuesday. Because Mondays I usually clean the house, but then I didn't do it Monday. Probably because of the bombing stuff, I can't remember, got distracted. So I was cleaning the house and had all the stuff going and dishwasher open and the laundry on the floor of in the laundry area and doing stuff. And I remember just running out so fast that I didn't even close the dishwasher. I remember just leaving so fast. And then talking to Mark later, and he laughed when I told him, yeah, I left. I grabbed everything. Well, you didn't really need to do, he didn't really need to do something like that. Well, he didn't really need to do, he laughed at me because I got scared. I remember that.
That struck you as pretty odd?
Yes. It's like, what? And why did you tell me? Why are you telling me I need to leave if you didn't want me to leave? What? Because I did not understand what's going on. It's like, if I'm not in danger, why are you telling me I'm in danger? But yeah, he laughed. I remember that. And I remember, and this is kind of stupid, but I remember that night. See, we went to the hospital. That was that morning. He told me that I needed to leave. Okay. And then I left. And so where I went was to my mother's house. I took my one child and went to my mother's house. And I was there that was where I got the phone call that he had been hurt, because it was the same day. That was the next day. See, the first day was when Kathy Sheets and Steve. And then the next day was when he called me that morning and said, you need to leave the house. And so I left. And I remember thinking, because we were in the hospital, I don't know who it was, police, somebody, I don't know if the FBI, I can't even remember who it was, came and got a key to the house. I had to give them a key to the house. And the keypad numbers, because we had an alarm. Mark had put an alarm in, and the keypad numbers. And so, and then that day, and then that night, watching on TV, in the hospital, watching on TV, all these bags going to all these people on the lawn, all these people going through the house, all the cameras are there, TV cameras, and going, ah, that house was such a mess. It's like, I didn't have time to clean up that house. You know, anyway, so what do you do? Because if I cleaned it on Monday, it would have been clean when they went in there. But
and you're still worried about it.
And I was like, but I remember thinking, wishing it had been clean anyway. So that's kind of silly. But yeah, I left the dishwasher. Everything was just left because I ran out so fast because I was scared. I know that it wasn't just people involved with Mark. I don't know, valley-wide, I would say, because I have people in businesses that didn't want to accept mail, I've had stories told to me from all kinds of different people that run into me, that there were people everywhere in business that did not want to accept mail, that were afraid. They did not know what was going to happen for that day and those couple of days.
So it wasn't just those
that, like Shannon and you know, Mike, the ones you mentioned, it was a lot of people in the city were terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Who would be next?
So at that first day of bombings, you weren't concerned. It wasn't until the second day, Mark said.
I was wondering what was happening. I was concerned and concerned for their family. I wasn't feeling like I was in danger. I wasn't afraid for me. But I was wondering, yeah, what's happening here? Because that's very shocking to have that happen.
Yeah.
But I wasn't afraid until Mark said to me, "You need to leave. You may be in danger. You and the kid may be in danger." Yeah, I wasn't. Then I went really afraid.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he did. Crazy. Yep. He laughed at me.
So, let me ask you, so Mark's in the hospital mm-hmm. and, you know, there's a story about that he may have confessed to a nurse. Do you know anything about that story?
I know the story. I know that it exists. I know that it did happen. He didn't confess to a nurse. I don't think. It's like what my understanding is that she was present for a conversation. She was in the room for a conversation. That she was hearing a conversation. I don't know that he actually confessed to her.
It wasn't a confession as far as you know.
Yeah. Okay. But it was, but he'd said some things while she was present. And so her experience became important. Okay. But I don't know what she said because I wasn't there.
You don't know the substance
no,
of that.
No, it wasn't. I don't know if it was with the attorney. I don't know. I can't remember. But I know that there was a big concern about that and that nurse, and I don't even know who she was or anything. But
well, and I know from what I understand, it seems like when that third bomb went off, the police immediately suspected that Mark was the bomber. And from what I understand, they. You know, they wanted to do search warrants on your house and on your car and mm-hmm. things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like for the police to say, "Hey, we think Mark's a bomber"? Now, what was that like for you?
Shocking. I didn't believe it. I didn't think that it was. I thought that it would be shown later that it wasn't true. And what do you do? You go along, you know, it's like, okay, you got to search the house. Here's the keys. Here's the things you need. There's no fighting it. There's no,
you didn't wait for a search warrant or anything. You were like, go ahead.
I think they had one, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. They asked me for the keys. I gave them the keys. And I remember just having that. And I don't know. They may have had a search warrant, but what I see happened is that, and I don't know Mark's experience. I haven't talked with him. We haven't talked. We haven't had an honest conversation, he and I. Even now, we haven't. And so my understanding of what happened is that the bomb went off. I don't know. This is what I've heard, not from him, not from Mark, but that the bomb wasn't in exactly the position that he was going to put it in or something. Or what the police found was, here's Mark's story. The forensics doesn't match his story. There's something here that we need to investigate further. And of course, when there's things don't match, that's the red flag. Okay, something's going on here because this doesn't match. What he's telling us doesn't match what he says happened. Isn't matching what we're seeing. And that's what put him immediately on the on that list, top of the list, because he was telling something that didn't match what they were seeing with how the car was, with what was happening with the car. And my understanding. And not from Mark, but my understanding is that he had sold the McClellan papers. He had sold twice to two different people and had taken money for that. And one of the things he was trying to do was say, oh, those papers were in the car. Sorry, they're all destroyed. But the way the bomb was, it didn't actually that he couldn't say that. And so then it was like obvious. But that's my understanding. He was trying to make it look like he had the papers, but now they were gone. My understanding, they never existed. They did never exist.
Okay.
But that's what my understanding was. But that was not from Mark.
Okay. So, what did Mark tell you? Especially in the hospital after the third bomb blow. Did you ask him? Did you have anything to do with this? Or what was his explanation?
That's a very interesting story because partly it wasn't, there were some things that I didn't ask.
Okay.
And partly because I didn't think it was true. Because I know my own experience.
So even though the police said, we think Mark's the bomber, you didn't believe the police, so you didn't.
I didn't believe the police, and here's some reasons why. Okay, here's some reasons why. And this is where I can't explain the reasons. I can't explain it. Okay, that's just what I'm going to say. Because he said in the hospital, there's a truck that's following me. There's been a brown truck that's been following me around. That's what he told us, the people. It has a license plate number of this, 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 and then those last three digits that I remembered. Okay? So he's in the hospital. We stayed there for that day and had all that stuff happen. Then I went home with his parents, staying in their house. I wasn't even allowed in. I mean, I couldn't have. If I wanted to go home, I couldn't have. I'm not allowed in the house. They're doing their search stuff. And so in the morning, I get in my car and I get in our van and I drive up to the hospital. There's a car following me that has the last three digits of the numbers that he said that truck was following. It's not a brown truck, but it's a car that I can see following me everywhere I'm going. It has the last three digits. Okay, I don't know. It's like, this is interesting to me because he said the day before this truck was following me and here's the digits. It was the same. The same digits were the same. Secondly, the police said the bombing happened at this and this and this time. I was the witness that knew Mark was home. I knew when he was home. I passed five lie detector tests saying that he was home. The times didn't match to me. If that bombing had happened when they'd said, how could he have gotten home so soon?
So wait a minute, let's back up. So you're talking about the bombs that went off the previous day.
The previous day.
And so Mark was home when those bombs went off, is what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying I had to test. It's like when I got up in the morning, he was home. Okay. When I got up in the morning.
Because as I understand it, let's talk a little bit about this. So supposedly he had left a package at the Sheets' house overnight. And then supposedly he'd gone early in the morning for...
Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah. And so the only way to me that this could have... I mean, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. It must have been... The time they told me didn't make sense because I knew when he was home. It must have been earlier. That's the only thing that could have happened. But because of the time they were telling me, and I knew when I got up that morning that he was home.
And you thought he had been home all night.
Yes. Basically. Yes. Okay. I thought he'd been home all night. I thought he'd been. Yeah. I did. And, but he was home when they were saying, oh, he was gone at this time. It's like, no, he wasn't. He was home. And I took five detector tests that I passed because he was home. But if they'd gotten that time wrong, and if it was earlier than what they had said initially, that would have made sense. But because they told me this time,
you think the police got the time wrong?
Yeah. The time they told me didn't make sense. Yeah, I do. Yeah, okay. I think so.
But
at that point, I'm saying, hey, you're telling me this happened at this time. I know my husband was home. This could not have happened.
Okay. So if the police just messed up on the timeline, it probably could have happened. So, I mean, you went to bed with Mark Sunday night, I guess, at the same time. And then he was there in the morning when I woke up. So he could have, after you were asleep, gotten
yes.
Up,
oh, yes.
All this,
he, yes, absolutely. And I'm not saying anything that he didn't do it. I'm saying that in that moment of time, what they were telling me, this happened, didn't make sense. I knew that he was home. That was something I could trust myself with. So, but they had told they what they time they told me wasn't didn't match. That's what I'm saying. Okay. And I had this car following me that had the same three license plate numbers that he had said that at the hospital, this truck's been following me around. And it's like, who is this person? Who is this truck? I don't know, but I know it followed me. It followed me for a number of days. Followed me around.
So
oh, yeah.
You have the police following you around.
I don't know if it was the police. I mean, I don't know, but somebody.
Who else would have lived there?
I don't know. But yeah, but I noticed it and I didn't, I wasn't doing anything. I mean, it's like you could stop. You can, there's all these things you could do. And it's like, you know what? Someone's following me. I'm just going. I'm going to the hospital, which I did. I just did my own routine, went whatever I was doing. I just did. And they just followed me around. And I just thought, well, I guess they get to be bored because I knew I had nothing to hide. I mean, I wasn't doing anything. There was nothing from me they were going to learn.
Right.
And I didn't think he was in. I didn't think he was guilty. I honestly didn't think he was guilty because. But can you see why? Some reasons why I would have thought that.
Oh yeah.
I didn't, and I couldn't. I could not imagine. It takes imagination. I mean, it took imagination of Mark to be able to imagine doing all these things. It takes a quality of imagination, and if you don't have the imagination, it's hard to see what someone else is doing. And I didn't have the imagination to think that he could possibly have thought all this up and done this. I did not believe it. I didn't. Why would he want to do that? Why would he? See, I was very limited in my thinking. But I didn't. I honestly didn't believe it, that he could have done this.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dory Olds. In our final conversation with Dory, we'll talk about what Mark told her about why he decided to plea bargain.
So what he told his dad and I, what he said was, there's a reason why I'm doing this. It's going to protect you and the kids from being killed. That's what he said.
I hope you enjoyed that short clip from our next interview. If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please go to our patreon.com/gospeltangents and subscribe for just $5 a month. If you'd like a transcript of this, please click the yellow subscribe button at gospeltangents.com, and I'll send you this and all future transcripts. Also, if you'd like a paperback like we've got here, those are available at our website at amazon.com. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents. Please get all updates at our Facebook page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. We're also on Twitter at Gospel Tangents. You can also get transcripts individually at our website, gospeltangents.com/shop. Finally, make sure that you subscribe on our Apple Podcast page. Just do a quick search for Gospel Tangents there and give us a 5-star review while you're at it. Thanks again for listening. Your support helps create more Mormon history classes and podcasts such as this, and so I really appreciate you listening. Please share with your friends. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some more of our great videos. Thanks again.